each of us begins our day following a specific repetitive order with a personal agenda. Now, most of us, we do have a daily routine, one that we adhere to, one that works for us, a ritual we have established and put in place. This is the method we use to prepare ourselves for the day and for what it might bring. Now, first of all, we give our attention to what we consider the necessary things, using habits and patterns that do not require a great deal of thought. You might say that some of us put ourselves on automatic pilot, at least until we have that first cup of coffee. Regardless of the pattern that we follow, this is how we prepare us to meet the day. Now, at some point, we do become a little more alert. We begin to look around us, and we do not always like what we see. Perhaps we turned on the TV, picked up a newspaper, or maybe we checked our smartphones or the internet. The headlines of the day bear witness to a world experiencing difficult and challenging times. And occasionally, we just want to jump back into bed, pull up the covers, and hope for a better tomorrow. Perhaps when we look around us, what we see is of a more personal nature. That load of laundry sitting over there in the corner, awaiting our attention. Then there is that stack of dishes, the ones on the countertop in the kitchen, or that to-do list sitting on the dining room table, the one that we have ignored for days. Now, it is true, these may be simple annoyances, but still, if we want to maintain an orderly household, we need to do something with them. Somehow, we must fit them into a day's activity. If not this day, then another, preferably sooner than later. In preparing us to meet this day, we look at what it might bring and what it may require of us. Considering our options, we then make decisions and determinations concerning how we will fill our time. We cannot delegate this authority to another. We cannot leave to someone else what is ours to do. Now, sometimes when we look around us, what we might see may be of a more serious nature. Perhaps there are those unpaid bills, or an illness, or perhaps a personal loss. Whatever it is that we are looking at, whether it is a personal matter or a larger one beyond our control, it does not matter. We alone decide what we will do with it. And of course, this is the point. Whatever life brings us, it is up to us to decide what to do with it. Jesus did tell us that in this world there would be trials and tribulation. When we look around us and we do not like what we see, we may call that what we're looking at the trials and tribulations. When we find us going through a difficult experience, we really just want it to end. The challenge for us is how to make it all go away. But it is best to admit that sometimes it is not possible for us to merely make something go away. Life requires something of us. It asks us to participate in some way. Now, this may mean taking action, or at the very least, making decisions and determinations. And we may not always feel up to the task. You see, sometimes fear gets in the way. We are concerned that we might make the wrong decision. There is a fear of failure and what others might think. Human beings are not always good at handling adversity and hardship. Finding us in a state of confusion, our human nature looks for a way out. How nice it would be to pack up our troubles and give them to someone else to take care of. Even if we are the one who caused the confusion in the first place, we would like someone else to fix it. This act of evasion does not work. Experience has taught us that if we do not learn how to handle what comes our way, what comes our way will multiply, establishing a pattern of frustration and uncertainty. Working in this way, we weary ourselves over what to do. Now, I personally think that we are mistaken when we consider ourselves knowledgeable enough and wise enough to know how to handle all of our problems. Our general level of acceptance of life is neither astute enough nor clever enough to assist in this way. When addressing life and what comes our way, a wiser choice is to seek guidance and direction from a source beyond our human capacity to know. Sometimes the only action required of us is to admit that we do not know what to do. You see, when we come to this conclusion, we are now open and receptive to new ideas and solutions, ones not previously covered by our education and our experience. To lift our attention beyond our education and experience, we are required to look at life in a different way. Our attitude about life must change. Our view must be larger and higher than the one that we currently have. The human nature, it needs to step aside. We can no longer depend on its mental work and physical might to make things happen. Expanded awareness takes us beyond what the world calls its trials and tribulation. It is a place free of judgment and condemnation, both of ourselves and of others. I am talking about a realm of life, a principle of life, not dependent on the headlines of the day or the events of the moment. This realm of life belongs to our inner nature, to our spiritual self. Changing cycles, revolving scenes, and rotation, they cannot touch or move what belongs to this state of awareness. We enter this place in consciousness. All activity, all awareness, all of our acceptance takes place in consciousness. Now, we understand that we are still walking in the material world, and we are subject to all that it has to offer. However, we are also conscious of something else. We know of divine guidance and direction, activity based on a foundation of principle. Now, principle is established and put in place by God. It is sure and it is certain. We can depend on it. We can rely on it. And yes, most importantly, we can trust it. Now, the challenge for us is to discover how to unite ourselves with it. Reading about it and talking about it does not go nearly far enough. We benefit according to the degree that we work with it and make it our way of life. Divine science teaches a principle of life, one based on the omnipresence of God. When we are one with this belief, we walk and we talk with God. We go through life as one. With God as a conscious reality in our life, we are one with the foundation that supports life in all of its ways. When we fail to practice the principle of omnipresence, we walk alone, separate and apart, as that withered branch detached from the tree. Now, we all know about principle. This standard supports the laws of gravity, of rhythm, and all of nature. For instance, let us discuss electricity. We are all familiar with its energy and its power. There is a principle that supports it, and we benefit according to how we use it or misuse it. Now, the principle itself, it simply is. It does not have an opinion of how we use it, or if we use it at all. It is up to us to make that decision. If we cooperate with electricity, it will light our homes and cook our meals. If we misuse it, it could burn down our house or electrocute us. It is all up to us. There is activity that determines the ebb and the flow of the oceans and the rotation of seasons. There is a principle that supports mathematics, and when we learn it and practice it, we can depend on its answers. The important point is to know the principle and work with it. Now, about mathematics. If we are a mathematics novice, we may know there is such a thing as numbers and solutions, and we assume that something put them in place. However, being new at this, we personally do not have the knowledge of how it works. We are not one with the activity that supports and gives value to the numbers. So, trusting our degree of intelligence, we proceed to solve problems of math. We look at the numbers on the paper, and frankly, we do not have a clue. Still, we have heard there is a principle concerning mathematics. We reason, surely if we stare at the numbers long enough, principle will give up its answers. However, we soon learn that this is not how it works. Since we are not familiar with the law that governs mathematics, its answers elude us. Because, you see, when we try to solve problems of math, we are not working with the numbers themselves, but rather, we are cooperating with the activity that determines the value of the numbers. This is actually true of all of life. When we practice the presence of our divinity and live the truth that we know about us, we are cooperating with the principle of the omnipresence of God, and we are one with it. We can trust it to do the work. When something is required of us, perhaps some activity or decision, we can say, I'll leave it to God. I will leave it with principle to do the work. And then we rest, and we become the beholder. Now, this does not mean that we are idle, that we sit on our hands and do nothing. In our capacity as a beholder, we are alive and alert to divine guidance, direction, and inspiration. It is true that God makes the crooked places straight. However, when we practice the presence of God, we are one with its activity, manifesting as the avenue for its expression on this earth plane. We have a role to play, and that role is to be the one with the receptive attitude and the open heart. This means that God lives us and moves us. He gives us the words to speak and the actions to take. In the state of beholding, we are watchful and attentive, listening with the inner ear and perceiving with the eye divine. Jesus was about his Father's business. He was one with the principle of life, giving visibility to the invisible. We too can be about our Father's business if we know us as his child, as a member of his household. It is this identity that is one with the principle of life. We cannot fulfill this assignment, identifying ourselves as that man of flesh and blood, acting as that one of skin and bone. Let us not deceive ourselves. We cannot demonstrate beyond where we are in acceptance. If we do not function from the basis of our divinity, we cannot bear witness to it. If we have not yet attained consciousness of the allness of God, we will not be able to manifest the qualities that make up the allness of God. If we do not know about the omnipresence of God, he will not be available to us. Without this understanding, when we say, I will leave it to God, we really do not know what we are saying. We are simply trying to get out of an unpleasant situation, calling on a principle we have not yet learned to work with. When we behave like this, we are acting in a personal way, and we have an agenda. The human nature works with the problem at the level of the problem. We go to God, asking him to correct the messes that we have made. We would also like him to take on all of those problems that we do not know what to do with, requesting that he fix them, better yet, just make them go away. When we act in this way, when we do this, we are simply evading the issue, ignoring the situation we have created, merely hoping and wishing that everything turns out okay. And of course, all without any activity or responsibility on our part. We are asking God to do our bidding according to the standards assigned to the human nature. Let us understand that when we are one with the principle of life, we practice our divinity and a higher power comes into play. When this is our way of life, we can truthfully say, I am leaving it to God. I am leaving it with principle. We can do this because we have come to that place where 20, 30 times a day, we actually do open our consciousness and we say, all right, Father, you take over. Every time we blink the eye in recognition of the activity of the presence of the Christ, we can say, I have turned it over to God. The constant turning inward in recognition is what we call prayer without ceasing. If this is not our method of acknowledgement, then we cannot call on it to do something for us. It is nonsense to believe that only about once a week we can turn something over to God. There is no God waiting for our weekly visit so that he can do something for us. He already knows us as his beloved child. And when we act as his child, we are one with the creative activity that makes the crooked places straight. This relationship, maintained on a daily basis, allows us to walk hand in hand, one with the principle of life. God is on the scene only in proportion as we purposely open our consciousness to its activity. Without the opening of consciousness to God, or the realization of Christ as a constant experience, without this, we will be leaning onto our own understanding. We will be navigating life alone, creating messes, maneuvering around barriers of restriction and limitation. But by now, I think we can all agree, it is beneficial to be the one with the receptive attitude and the open heart. It would be helpful if we could get to that place where we can leave it to principle to provide answers, to restore and renew in ways not known to the human self. So now, this is our conviction and our intent. We just need to figure out how to do it. Well, I think we are all familiar with the Bible story concerning Elijah and the poor widow. We read that Elijah asked the widow for a morsel of bread. She replied that all she had in the house was a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil. Elijah told her to make him a little cake first, because the barrel of meal will not waste and the oil will not fail. The poor widow began to pour, and we read that it did not run dry. Elijah walked and he talked with God. He was one with the principle of life. and in the face of apparent lack and limitation, because of his faith and conviction, Elisha could leave it to God. He could leave it with principle to do its work. Elisha was not asking something special from God. He knew about the principle of increase and multiplication. Principle never fails. He called on it. He trusted it. And he had the demonstration of his conviction. Today's lesson reveals that we are infinite. All that God is, we are. All that the Father has is ours. Let us not search in our pocketbook or our bank account to see if we can prove this. Let us not call our possessions our demonstrations. We are no longer interested in what the world calls tangible evidence. We are interested in a principle of life, one that takes us on into eternity. This morning we have the opportunity to claim the spiritual life as our life. God is, and beside him there is none else. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we pause and give recognition to the indwelling presence, the one that loves us and cares for us. In a moment of silence, we still our thoughts and our emotions. God is in this place. The invitation is given, come on to me, I will give you rest. I give you rest from your fears and your concerns. Relief from the ritual of daily living, with its struggles and its demands. I lead you through green pastures and still waters. In my arms I take you and shield you. I give comfort and contentment. The receptive heart request, speak, Lord, I am listening. So let us go often to the quiet place just to be in his presence, to talk with him and walk with him. Prayer without ceasing is the way of acknowledgement. Turn to me, you will find me. Our inner sanctuary is the secret place of the Most High. We may enter at any time, commune with God, and be at peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Go in peace.